City Tapes Ministry, bringing you the Word of God with simplicity and understanding. One word from God is all you need to turn your life around. Listen and be blessed.
Of the kingdom of God, people who can represent you truly anywhere they are, people who can be proud of at all times. I thank you for answering this prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your anointing that enables us to communicate effectively the mysteries of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. What God has dropped in my heart to talk to us about today is on love. Love. Gratitude, in a way too, is an expression of love. Either as a giving expression or as a response to the receiving or the receiving of love or kindness or whatever done to you. So I want to look at love, because you see, that is the greatest message sent through the gospel. That is the greatest message. That God loved us so much that he gave his life for our sake. And now, out of that, he's now teaching us to love one another like that. Think about it. Somebody was describing God's expression of his love. He used the word mercy. Mercy is when you take away deserved punishment and judgment from people. Then the other way God expresses his love is through grace. Grace is when you extend favor to somebody that does not deserve it. Look at, one is giving something, the other is taking it away. Now, somebody is supposed to be condemned to death because he's worthy of death. Mercy takes away the judgment by canceling his debt. Now, somebody doesn't deserve to be given any good thing, because most of the kind of person or kind of life or whatever he's living, grace extends that thing he doesn't deserve to him. Maybe healing, maybe miracles, maybe blessing, maybe prosperity. And do you know that on the ground of these two expressions or manifestations of love, we see most of the mighty works of God. When I pray for the sick, I've seen all kinds of people healed. I've seen all kinds of infirmities healed. Sometimes I cry too, as the people are rejoicing that they are healed. I know that this is an expression of the mercy of God. Sometimes the man that is being healed got into trouble through his own sin. Think about a person healed of syphilis. Did he get it from, he got it from committing immorality. The same God he offended extends his grace to him and heals him of that infirmity. The Bible said, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how he expects us to love. Grace has also been explained in another way, which is so awesome. grace and mercy. Somebody said mercy can be understood this way. He said, if you see a beggar and extend him some kindness, you give him 5 naira or something, because you feel for him in his situation, you show the mercy, the form of kindness. But if somebody comes to your house and robs your house, rapes your wife, rapes your daughter, and now you see the same man and give him 5 million, that one is now grace. That's why it's called amazing grace. How sweet that sound. That saved a wretch like me. That one is grace. That the man who hurt you so much, who offended you so much, who did evil against you so much, the same man you are showing kindness. This is now beyond mercy, because for, in case of mercy, it could just be forgiveness or pardon. Forgiven. You offended me, I've forgiven. But now to go beyond forgiveness, to keep extending favor to the same man, that is what God's love is all about. He found out as a minister of the gospel that even many of us who are preaching don't understand the New Testament definition of love. And because of that, we are giving the people of God a half-baked bread, half understanding of what this thing is all about. So we are seeing in the body of Christ today schism, jealousy, quarreling, and all that, because we don't even know how to love anymore. Now, the Greek people, because the New Testament was written in Greek and now translated into English, the Old Testament was written first in Hebrew language. Now, the New Testament people, when they were trying to write the gospel in Greek, they found that the Greek people had about 4 major words to describe love. 3 are very important, and you need to know that. The first word is eros, E-R-O-S, is a Greek word, and that talks about love at its physical, fleshly level. We want to talk about, have you heard of such words like erotic, erotica? These are all from eros. But sexual appeal, what they call chemistry, physical attraction. Now, the Bible calls it lust. To this 21st century generation, even 20th century generation, that's their understanding of love. That one is based completely on the feelings, emotions. Pastor Bimbo Dukoye calls it being led by hormones. I'm in love with a man, sister, or whatever. You see a girl, you and to you, you are really in love. You don't know, you don't even know what love is all about. Because everything that is happening, you are feeling the thing, the attraction that God created between the male and female is in operation. And the thing is working on you, and you can't wait. And usually, people who are operating eros, the next thing they start demanding sex. So that's why our young people today are going haywire. Because check what the media is teaching them. Check what the novels are teaching. Check what, especially, you know, these recent crazy books that are publishing, or novels that are publishing. You put a naked woman only with pants in the front, and then the whole story starts. And they are telling a love story. And youths get raptured in that. They get born again, coming to the church, and that is still the mentality they have. So when you're thinking about marriage, you're thinking about relationship, you're thinking, you're thinking about somebody they feel something for. So most of the time when you are telling God, I love you, and all that, you think about, oh, how you feel for him. You don't know that you can feel so much for God, and God doesn't believe you love him. Because to God, love is a commitment. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how I know. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotional God. God is a God of principles. So you feel, you cry in church, you walk out, you hate your brother. You cheat your brother. You deceive people. And when you're in church, you feel the thing. And under that kind of aesthetic, especially with charismatics and Pentecostal, and shake, and all that, you really feel heavenly. You are not anywhere above the ceiling. Second level of love is filio. Filio is called natural affection. We use a word for it, like. I like you. Now, usually, filio is obtained naturally within acquaintances. If you grew up with certain people, it's supposed to, you find it there. Even when you don't think you like the person, like your families, for example, you find we have it for our parents, we have it for our brothers, we have it. You know, you might not like your father. Maybe he, you know, it's always, you always quarrel with your father. Here now that something is going wrong with your father, the thing moves you, you go and fight. Your father, you might think you don't like that particular son. All of a sudden, you hear that this one, you take side with your son immediately. Some of us mothers, when you see your children fighting, you don't check who is wrong or right. You already you are joining to fight the other person's child. And of course, the other mother comes to it, joins his own child. Whoever crosses to the other person's side, that is filial. And most, that is the highest level of love known to the world. Now, when we now develop friendship with other people outside our family and acquaintances, that also, you know, is a little close. That's what we give them. But now, say this. Natural human love is based on selfishness. That's why it always fails. Everything about natural human love is based on self. It's not on the object of the love, it's on me. So now, if we're married, a girl is good as long as she satisfies you. She cooks well. She pleases you. Everything can be going on well. The problem begins when she doesn't satisfy one of your expectations. And that's why people fall in love, believe they were in love, and now end up in divorce. And that's why people sometimes were so... I counsel couples, and sometimes you hear some things. As a pastor, who some wet people watch them grow, you sometimes know people, you know how close these people were. You know how they fed for each other. You know how probably this one pursued the other one as a single person, and how they ended up married, and now they don't want to see each other. What is wrong? Natural human love is limited. Just like man is finite, that love is finite. Just like man is limited, that love is limited. It can go so far. The moment you violate me on my rights, the love quenches. It is selfish. But do you know that the marriages we conduct are not based on natural human love? It's based on agape, the third level, which is the God kind of love. Because when we make you take vows, we don't say, I promise you, as long as you are healthy, I'll be committed. I promise you, as long as you satisfy me sexually, I'll be committed. Everything you are saying in your marital vow is giving, giving, giving. Nothing about you appears. The other person comes up, she makes commitment to give, to remain. Nothing about her appears in the vow. Anytime you see them change vow to begin to include me and I, check that vow. It has left the God realm of love down to natural human level. The whole commitment is so strong that if she's sick, I'm still committed. If she's not strong, I'll still be committed. If she goes blind, I'll still be committed. If she doesn't meet some of my expectations, I'll still be committed. Now, what we make people vow, they don't understand, so they don't keep it. And that is how it is in our relationship with one another. Because that's what the Bible teaches that we are to do. We at least read a verse of the scripture so I can. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said this. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, there's a word called agape. That's what Jesus is using here. He said that ye also love one another. He said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another. He said, this is the Christian badge. This is the identity. It is not the miracles. It's not the tongues. You're not saying, I'm born again and all that. Mm-mm. The love content of your life is the acid test of your genuine conversion. If you want the acid test reaction of whether you are genuinely a Christian or not, it is not your outward display. It is the love content of your life. To this extent that God judges ministries, miracles, manifestations of the Holy Spirit by the love content of it. He said, though I speak in tongues of men and of angels, I have not love. You are just a noisemaker, a clinging cymbal. When you are healing the sick, God wants to know, are you doing it because you care? Are you doing it because you want people to know that you are a healer? Anything good can be done for wrong motive. There is always abuse and there is always use. For every use, there is an abuse. Just give it a wrong motive. The use turns to abuse. You see, cocaine has uses. Cocaine is good. God created it. I think that might shock some people. It's not the devil that created cocaine. I hope you know God created cocaine. A hospital is a drug. It's saving a lot of lives. Oh, yes. Yeah, it's a situation you find yourself now, you need some. But see people who are smoking it and injecting and all that. Abnormal use. Abuse is what? Abnormal use. Misuse is missing the proper use. So we talk about drug abuse. It's not only drug that can be abused. There is sex abuse. There is husband abuse. There is wife abuse. You turn your wife into a punching bag. That's not why God gave a woman a helpmate fit for him. Not for a boxer's punching bag. There's pastor's abuse. Oh, yes. Congregation abuse, too. And when you don't know the purpose of anything, you are very likely to abuse it. Now, the Greek people, once in a while, came in contact with some level of expression of love that they believed that was not human. They called it divine. They said, this love is divine. It's beyond this world. A good example is Romeo and Juliet. You don't die pursuing her girl. No matter how you love her, she's dead, you forget her and look for another one. And this one hears that and dies there. So they call such love divine love. So to look for a way to separate it from what is normal, they say it's very rare. They now got the word agape. They wanted to talk about love as from the gods. Love that is not natural. Love that is divine. And when Jesus came, every time he spoke about love, never did he ever use the word eros, never did he ever use the word filial. All his teachings about love was agape. So the question is, what is agape? So until you know what it is, you won't know when you see it. And you think you're practicing Christianity, you won't know you're practicing substandard Christianity. And the Bible says this is the highest realm of spirituality, love. It is not power. It is love that is the highest realm. The highest realm of power is love. Have you ever noticed that every time Jesus deals with the sick, the first thing that is always written is he was moved with compassion and he healed them. If you want to feel the power of God like you have never seen in your life, step up into God's realm of love. Agape, if not a feeling, agape is a sustained direction of the will for the good of another. I'll give you some definitions right now. Sustained direction, that is, you made up your mind and you keep that commitment sustained for the good of the other person. Agape is a command, not a feeling. A new commandment I give unto you. And if you want to understand a commandment, just have flash your mind on soldiers who are under command. Attention! And you are standing. A fly is perching on your nose, you are still standing. The commander-in-chief is observing the brigade is passing, you're just standing there. A snail is crawling on your feet, you are standing. One fly will come and is entering your eyes, you can't move your hand to remove it because feeling does not have anything to do with obedience. Now, when I am under agape, I don't go by the way I feel. Sometimes, if I want to go by the way I feel, I will never want to talk to you again. My feeling is telling me, because of what you did, never again, I will never. But agape said, I love you, not because you please me, but because I care about you. Young men and women, when you see a person who know how to love like that, marry them. Forget all these your infatuation stories. They are failing people every day. All these what are, fine people. What is agape? Love without a reason. Once you have a reason for loving somebody, that reason is the destruction of that love. Filial is love with a reason. You are my brother. You are my father. We might not see eye to eye in the house, but anything about you, I will come out because you are related to me. You see, it's a level. There is a love. The Bible talks about a friend that loves it closer than a brother. That's agape realm. That's like David and Jonathan. Jonathan was a prince, heir to the throne. David was a shepherd boy. But that guy was willing to love David to the expense of his own. That's loving another person even to your own expense. How can you love other people that you died for them? That's agape. When we preach it and the church understands it again, then this new generation will have a new witness of New Testament Christianity. I've read that Bible from Genesis to Revelation a number of times. I'm yet to find one place where God gave the reason for loving us. Anybody that has found the reason God gave for loving us, for God so loved the world, for example, the popular scripture that he gave his only begotten son. What is the reason why you did it? Romans chapter 5 verse 5 said, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, the next verse now said, verse 6, he said, even a righteous man, no human being will willingly die for. You know that this man is righteous and that he's about to be condemned, but if you can die for him, he can go free. He said, people don't even die for righteous men. He said, how much more? He now said, if God loved us and gave his life for us while we are his enemies, how much more now that we are reconciled, shall he not give us anything? You know, some of you, you think that you deserve grace, the favor of God. You think you deserve his mercies. That's why when you pray wrongly. Two of those people came to the temple to pray. One was making all his claims. I pay my tithe, I do all this. Jesus said, heaven closed the door. The other one said, have mercy on me, a sinner, and heaven opened. He's realized that he was owing a lot. But his approach to God was not on the basis of merit. It was on the basis of grace. What is agape? It is called unconditional love. And hear this. I put a thought down. And I think you should hear it. Whenever you give a reason for loving someone, you automatically establish a condition for maintaining it. Let's take for example. Let God find some reasons for his love for us. Righteousness. I love you because you are righteous. Okay. How many people will still maintain that love? Moses, who got the, saw him face to face, got the commandments, couldn't enter the promised land. Why? God said the reason he gave the commandments is to let every man know that they have all concluded sinners. So because there was not one man found who could keep God's standard. If God loves you because you are righteous, how many of you can maintain it? I want to see one bold man who thinks he can maintain it, and I'll pull off the rod from your feet right now. Was it not David that was a man after God's heart, God's favored man? Think about his life. There was somebody's wife. Next time he's planning somebody's mother. And when the prophet came and told the story of that man who did that, David said, that man is worthy of death, because the prophet talked in parable. And that's what David was worthy of. And the prophet Nathan now said, thou, O king, you are the man. He now broke down. If it's another person, the person will have died, but now it's me. God have mercy. And God have mercy on him. Unconditional love. Anytime I love you, for a reason, that reason becomes a condition. That means the day you stop maintaining that reason, love collapses. Now you see why we are getting into trouble, because when you want to get married, you look at a tiny slim girl and all that. Like a wise man said to me, before you marry a girl, go and look at the mother. You see a pretty, slim, wow, hey, you're in love. Who do you love? You love her figure, not her. And then the first child, the second child, the whole thing is disfigured. So the next time you look again, you have seen another slim thing and you are in trouble. That's why men pursue women. There's nothing in another woman's body, there's nothing in your wife. The problem is that what you love was the steel, you didn't love the person. Because you know what? Even when they grow to be 90, that little girl is still inside. The woman's spirit does not grow old. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The woman's spirit does. The Bible says, though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. If you love that girl, because the girl is not the one you see, the girl is the one that lives in that house. If you bring to my house, you say, that's Pastor Shikudu. No, I live in the house. You see my car, you say, that's Pastor Shikudu. No, I drive the car. That's how God gave you an ethyl suit called a human body and put you inside. That this eye is like a window. You look out through it. You want the person in the house, then you are really in love. Such love is not built on attraction on physique, on size of breast or curve of the hip and all complexion and all that, is built on qualities, internal qualities, like character, like virtue, like all those things, and it will outlive two of you. Have you noticed those of you who have parents, sometimes even you look at your father or your mother, you still see the little boy in him. And some of you don't know that your parents need your love. You don't know that your mother need your love. The little girl is still inside that age body. You see some even women, they are fighting with menopause, they are fighting with age. They are trying to paint it and cover it. Some are doing plastic surgery. They want to remain young. Some of them, you see them now, you just despise them. They used to be the abalawai of their time. You think that beauty started today. It didn't start now. So when is your turn? You think that you have just arrived. It's your time. Wait for time. Then you see some young people who dishonor their parents. Oh, old woman, God, sit down. Old man. All that. Just wait. Day and night, year 2001, 2002, is happening. You don't see it, why it's happening. After a while, you see it. Like, you can't see growth when it's taking place, but you see it after it has taken place. Then the child, you know, you just travel for 1 year or 2 years. Ah, you are this big. He was growing every minute. But you can't say this is when agape, the God kind of love. That's what God expects from us towards one another. 14 ways to love. Number one, that you should write it down and use it as an acid test for your life for now. This will take you to another level of Christianity. He said, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a noisemaker. You know, and he said all those things. And if you want to understand what Paul is writing, he wrote chapter 12, Gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you look at it, that's the title, heading of your chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you turn to chapter 14, it is Gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's mentioning dealing with tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. So what Paul is doing is, why he's discussing the power of God and how the power of God works, he punctuated and put love in the middle and said, let me show you a more excellent way. In other words, the highest manifestation of power or the Holy Spirit's work is love. If you are healing the sick, you have the anointing in hand. What I want to see is the love content of your ministry. That's what shows me whether you are in or not. Because the devil can do miracles, but he cannot duplicate the nature of God. His nature is hatred. His nature is division. His nature is wahala. Love is a badge. By this shall all men know. It's a character trait. It's a nature. It's a fruit. So, to explain to us the manifestations of love, the colors of love, how to locate love when you see it, he starts mentioning verse 4. Love is patience. The first one. So, to explain to us the manifestations of love, the colors of love, how to locate love when you see it, he starts mentioning verse 4. Love is patient. The first one. Write it, patient. What does it mean? Throw away the watch. When you are dealing with another person, forget about time. He said, I just gave him 2 weeks to change. If he doesn't change, now you are not working in agape. You know how many years God waited for you to change? People were preaching, you beat up some preachers, cursed some of them out, and now you are born again and he still accepted you. What is patience? Forbearance. It means to postpone judgment, not to conclude yet. It means allow other people to make mistakes. Now, he said, Pastor, you can preach what you want to preach, but patience is not one of my virtues. Then you are not start. You need to develop that now. So patience, I run out of patience. You are running out of love. That's what God is saying. You think you love? He's telling you this is what love is. If you don't have patience, you don't know how to love like me. Number two, kindness. Love is kind. Is there? You can see the 14 things listed there. What is kindness? Love is nice. The first thing it means to be nice. So don't be a wicked Christian and say you're a Christian. No, that is anti-Christian. Christianity should make you a very nice person. Number two, it means to be generous. Kindness means generosity. A stingy person, he doesn't know anything about love. That's why you can't give to God. I sometimes wonder, this people who can give to God, who can they give to? Eat their tithe, eat their offering, eat everything. So, who? Kindness means generosity. Kindness also means favor. People want favor. They want it, but it also means to extend it to others, show people favor. Kindness also means to be friendly. It means to be benevolent. That's how you know you're walking in love. Number three, envy. He said love is not envious. What is envy? They call it bad belly. Somebody's doing well, you are not happy. What is envy? Jealousy. Number four, love is not boastful. What does it mean to boast? It means to brag on oneself. It's always talking about you, what you did, what you accomplished, all that. And watch boastful people, they don't give the praise to God. What God does for them, they take the glory for it. So what is the opposite of being boastful? Love builds up other people. Love never speaks down of others. It speaks to build up their own esteem. Anytime you're using your words to attack other people's self-esteem, other people's whatever, you are not walking in agape. What God says I am, I can do what God says I can do. I can have what God says I can have. He said he has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, even as poor as you are now. But what he's telling you is his expectation of you and what he has planned for you, and you will get there. Say amen. Amen. That's what love does. But you see, selfish love only brags on self. All I did, what I can do, and all that. Number five. Pride. Love is not proud. That means he's not haughty or self-conceited. So what it means is that you see a man that is walking in love is a humble man. Oh my God. Humility is an expression of love. You see? See how many problems pride has caused in relationships and marriage. Ego. Me? Hey! You know who I am? You're not walking in the love of God. One of that expression of humility is to be teachable, to be correctable. When you see a humble person, he can be taught, he can be corrected. See Ezoyangwenam. Honor. Because before every fall, there is pride. And before promotion, there is humility. Number six. Not rude. Love is not rude. Now, that will get some of us. I don't have the time. I will have settled down on this. What he's saying is that love is respectful. Number one. See people who don't respect you. Don't. A Christian, you're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Past people, your face is like this. You don't greet people. You don't know how to honor people. That is anti-Christianity, brothers and sisters. It's not God. What does he mean by saying that love is not rude? It means that love is well behaved. Love is good mannered. And you see what agape is? That agape is not a feeling. It's not, oh, this I feel, I don't feel. It's behavior. It's expression. It's character. It's not ill-mannered. It's well-mannered. Knows how to talk to people. Love is not rude. It means that it does not have bad attitudes. One of the definitions of rudeness is violation of other men's rights. Love respects other people's rights. Everybody don't have to have your opinion. Respect people. We can be different and still be friendly. Everybody doesn't have to be like you. God made us different and unique. Respect other people's differences too. That's love. Number seven. Oh, I got to do this fast. Number seven. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not selfish. What is the opposite of that? Love is selfless. It means that love is other people seeking. put in a simple way, love does not take advantage of others. That's what it means. Number 8, love is not easily angered. Let's put it another way, love is not hot-tempered. You say, Pastor, you don't know me, this is my own weakness. I know that if you know me, I can destroy, I'm an atomic bomb. Yeah, you need conversion. Now that you are born again, you need what? Tell your friend, you need conversion. New birth is not enough. Conversion is what will bring you to perfection. You're welcome. Love is not hot-tempered and not easily provoked. I hope you know that God gets angry, but not easily. Not easily. It takes time. But God, too, when he gets angry, another thing, you have to know how to appease it.
Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord.
Number 9. Oh, this one is so important. In relationships, in marriages, in friendships, in church, in everything. It is so important. He has destroyed so many relationships. He said that love does not keep record of wrongs. Well, I'm forgiving you. You know, husband, he said, we have said, okay, it's over, it's over. Tomorrow, you bring it up. 20 years after, you still bring it up. You remember what you did, you and your mother. Hey, the Bible says when God forgives, he forgets. Everyone say that. When God forgives, he does what? He forgets. Love cancels the record. Wipes it out, forgets it. See, you that will never forget. Hey, if you hurt me. Me. That's my own problem. I will never. Even when I smile, that smile. That's acting like the devil. That's the devil's way of behaving. That's not like God. Read Psalm 103. He said he has not dealt with us after our own unrighteousness. As the east is far away from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. He said, this is the covenant I will make with them. I'll forgive their iniquities and I'll remember their sins no more. That's agape. Agape forgives and forgets. Even if it comes up, they just talk about it and discuss it like one of the stories, and it doesn't hurt anymore. It doesn't hurt anymore. Let's build a new generation of Christians. Especially this ministry, we have an assignment for the young generation. God said, go and parent and empower the last generation. So I don't know whether this is the last or what, but what I'm saying is this. Let's rebuild the broken down foundations in the body of Christ. Let's get Christians again who behave like God. You know, God has come in the flesh and given us an example of how to live. That means that love cancels the past, never digs up past records, and it also means that it's not constantly reminding others of their past mistakes. Number 10, love does not delight in evil. Now, let me interpret that in another way. Love does not love cheating. You see, a man who genuinely walks in love, he hates when you're cheating another person. The person hates, what it means that love hates injustice, unfairness. See, people who can see cheating, they join it because it will benefit them. Take whatever on the side. Love hates injustice. If you really want to understand genuine definition of bribe according to the Bible, when someone receives a gift to rob another man of his rights, maybe because of that you remove it from whosoever it belongs to, give it to somebody else, that's cheating. Cheating is actually a form of stealing. Love hates injustice. That's number. So, first, number 11, love always protects. Think about it. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8 said, love covers a multitude of sin. In Proverbs chapter 17 verse 9, it said, whosoever covereth transgression seeketh love. But a one that has hatred will try to expose things. Then, in Proverbs chapter 10 verse 12, it said that he that repeated a matter separated friends, but he that covereth it secret love. Let me give you the meaning of that. When we do wrong things, we don't want people to expose us, but we want to expose others. Love doesn't do that. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love protects that person that you love. You see these betrayals in the body of Christ, people betraying one another and other. It's not Christianity. It's not. Love will protect you. Love is, I know your worst, but I won't tell it. You know how God loves you? God knows who you are. He knows all the things your mother doesn't know. He knows all the things you did in the dark places. But he still cares about you. And he's still committed for your good. One of the definitions of slander is using what you know about people against them. That's a wicked act. And sometimes you obtain those things when you are close to them. One day you go and use it to sell them to their enemies or to disgrace them. That is devilish. That's not Christianity. Love protects. Love covers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why the Bible said, I have given you now that love is not jealous when I was starting. But the Bible said that God is jealous. So what kind of jealousy does he have when he doesn't want us to be jealous? No, his own is not envy. His own is possessiveness, protection. When he loves somebody who doesn't want you, he protects you. You have it for your children. You have it for your husband and your wife and all that. You even have it for your car and your properties. Love protects. Am I my brother's keeper? Is the devil's nature. I've given 11, 12, always trust. You know what it means? To have confidence in a person. To believe in the other person. And then that trust could also mean confident expectation. Even though the person is not doing so well now, I believe you will be better. I believe you will change. It keeps me expecting that things will change in your life. Oh, verse number 13, love always hopes. Has expectations of others. I wish I gives the benefit of doubt to other people. See them as promising, even when they don't look so much like it. Finally, love perseveres. You know what it means? That love suffers long. Love is long suffering. Love endures. That sometimes hard times come in a relationship. Tough times sometimes come, trials come, situations sometimes change, and people are going through a wilderness in a family, in their relationship with their friends, in their job. That becomes a test for love. Because a true friend walks in on you when the whole world walks out on you. The Bible said a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for the day of adversity. So if you're truly my brother, it's when I'm going through problem that you will show it. It's one thing is going on for me that you share it. Being there said that a friend indeed is a friend in need. Is a friend indeed. That's what God expects of us. When God said that love always hopes, you know what it means? God is able to do that by an understanding of a principle called potentials. God sees the future in the seed. He sees the man. He knows what he will be tomorrow. So he will have patience for him till he comes to that point. He doesn't give up on him ahead of time. God saw a murderer called Saul killing Christians, persecuting them. But he looked at him and saw the greatest apostle that will ever rise. So he had patience for him, on him till he came to that point. He saw a barren man called Abraham. What's been I do? But he saw in him the father of many nations. So that understanding of his future and potential enabled him to have patience. He kept expecting till Abraham changed and became father of Isaac. God saw a fugitive, a murderer. He killed somebody in Egypt and ran away. He was running away from punishment. A fugitive called Moses. He looked at him. He saw a great deliverer inside a murderer. And he had patience on him. Till one day he experienced a transforming change. And he came back and became the person that delivers these people out of Israel. God saw a swindler, an unreliable man called Jacob. Even his name means a cheat. He do business with him. Ahab is a natural 419. Jacob is a natural 419. You know what happened? God saw in him a prince of power, Israel. Can you look beyond people's circumstances? You will learn to love them better. Finally, somebody came to me and was complaining about his wife. He said, I can't understand, Pastor, why my wife can't have faith. I can't understand why she can't grow and be able to trust God because some things weren't going well. I said, why is it that when we have passed a particular state, we lose patience for others who are still passing through it. You know how much patience God had for you till your eyes began to open and you go to where you are now. And he's still taking you somewhere. I said, think about it. If you have a younger brother, you are a grown-up man, 25 years old, and you have a younger brother, 2 years old.
You get my money, sir. The God. Can't you just pick the car key and go and fetch water? Can't you go to market and buy some things? What is wrong with you? When you were his age, were you doing it? Now, since there are different levels of growth in the body of Christ, some of us are more mature than others. Let's have patience for others to also grow. Somebody gives his life to Christ today. You still see worldly lifestyle, worldly nature. Yes, we who are adults will help such a person grow. You don't just condemn them. Ah! If by you, you were the church. You take them out gently and gradually, you know, sister, it's not good to dress like this. Now you are a child of God. You know, this kind of dressing, it makes you explain to the person, what about you? Before you understood. Let's learn to be like God. Let's restore the foundations of Christianity. I know this is Thanksgiving, but I believe that this is one of the greatest things now. This is what is in my heart to tell us in this new millennium. Let's start anew with a new commitment to love the agape way, not the selfish way. To love the agape way. You will see that commitments will stand. We become covenant keepers. We become reliable people. We become trustworthy men and women. We become men and women of honor. And that's what Christianity is all about. That's what it means to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. An ambassador of Jesus Christ. Just lift up your hands or bow down your head. Talk to God just for 1 minute. We can close this. Said that love is of God. We need your help to be able to do it. You said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It is through His enablement that we can look on wrongs, injustice done to us, and be able to forgive. Sometimes it's so painful to forgive, but you have taught us that that's the way to be like Christ. Sometimes it's yielding to the feelings and emotions. We find it hard to follow your ways. But I pray for that grace upon everyone today. Since there is no other option, this is the commandment you get for the New Testament. And this is the sign of New Testament Christianity. Let that grace be released to everyone today. Some of us have weaknesses in the area of hot temper, in the area of not forgiving, in the area of not forgetting, in the area of abusing others with our mouths. Lord, help us today. Let this Thanksgiving be a new beginning for all of us and our families and our lives and our relationships and in this church as a family. Hallelujah. Hold somebody's hand. We sing this prayer. Jesus prayed the prayer for us in John 17 before going. Then I'll be through. We're going to sing it. It's a prayer. Is pray that they may be one, even as we are one. Love is a bond of perfection, a bond of perfectness. That what love is, what produces unity. Hold somebody's hand. Give me your hand.
Father, make us one.
Excuse me, just 1 minute. The prayer is, Father, make us one. Father, make us one, that the world may know that you sent your Son. Father, make us one. It's simple.
Father, make us one.
That you said.
voice on fire.
Sing it again. Let's sing it just one more time.
Father, make this world.
Father, make this world.
Lord, bind us together in unity.
The conclusion of the matter. God told me to preach this message. He said to tell, said this to the church. You can make it a lifestyle. Find people that have helped you in the time past. Show them appreciation. Find people that may have wronged you, forgive them. Find people that you have wronged, ask them for forgiveness. Find somebody, maybe you cheated or something. You meet a person, tell the person, I'm sorry for that thing I did. Forgive me. Is wrong. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And sometimes they could be with us in the church. We can all be in the choir singing and two people are not talking. The greatest form of security is peace. Reconciliation. When you are at peace with your neighbor, then you don't have to fear whether he's attacking you in the night and all that. You see, hatred is not from God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We will live here. Because I've noticed that this Christianity that ends in the church is not it. We get instruction from church, we leave it out all the rest of our lives. Father, thank you because I know that you confirm your word. Release the grace to every one of us to be able to live what we have heard. Even when we stumble, help us to stand again and correct our ways. That we'll be a people that are pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.
I'm sure you've been blessed by this message. For other inspiring messages by Pastor David O'Grady, contact the Tapes Department of any Dominion City chapter all over the nation or Dominion City Lagos, 11/13 Jumat Olukoya off Ogudu Road, Ojota, Lagos. Phone number 01-792-6879 or 080-3351-4993, 080-3718-3623 or email ntftapes@yahoo.com. Your life will never be the same again. God bless you.